Thank you, Jesus. I'm a life that was changed. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. I didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I think I'm going to act differently today. God got a hold of me. God transformed me. I've been born again. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. What? All things have become new. Hallelujah. You must be born again to see the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's not going to make sense until the Spirit of God touches your heart. You know, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And so it's the Lord who reaches down and touches the candle of man, his spirit. And he becomes illumined by the Holy Spirit. And he begins to then, begins to perceive, begins to understand, begins to now have different motivations, different desires. Because of the Spirit of the Lord. Not because we just decided to act differently today. How many know that a hypocrite can act godly, but it's not? I don't want to just try to act godly, amen. I want to be godly. Amen. I don't want to act holy, I want to be holy. Amen. And how many know that God's the one that does that work in us? Amen. God's the one that makes us holy. Yeah. So we got to get over ourselves, past ourselves, beyond ourselves, because it's really not about us. I'm just thankful today that God showed up in my life. And really, I'd heard about him, even talked about him, heard other people talk about Jesus, you know. And I'm dating myself a little bit, but it was the flannel graph Jesus, you know. You used to stick Jesus here and put him wherever you wanted him to go on the flannel graph. And, you know, what's a flannel graph, right? Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we think because we know about God that we know God. But there's a big difference between knowing about him and actually knowing him. And God wants to reveal himself to us by his Spirit, and he wants us to know him. He wants us to know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. Are there any sheep in here? Just if you're a sheep, go baa. If you're a goat, go nah. If you're a goat, go dry. No. No goats in here? Good. All right. Goats are stubborn. Now, I know people say sheep are dumb, but they're only dumb if they're not looking at the shepherd. Amen. A wise sheep is one that trusts in the shepherd and knows that the shepherd's going to lead them to the right places. They're going to be drinking from the right water supply. Amen. They're going to eat the good stuff, not the noxious weeds, because they're trusting in their shepherd. And when the wolf comes, they don't look at the wolf. They look at the shepherd, because they know the shepherd's got their back and the shepherd will deal with it. And once in a while, a sheep gets wounded, gets injured along the way, but the shepherd's there to take us back in, to heal us up. Amen. To restore us to the flock, to fellowship. God wants you here today. Did you know that? He wanted you here today. And I'm glad that you listened and you came. There's a lot of other voices that are speaking all the time. How many know I'm talking about that are giving you alternative routes? And Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go there. There is a narrow way, and it's his way. And I've got to get to the place where I have faith in God. That means I trust his word. I trust his guidance. I trust his wisdom. I trust his direction. Even though with my mind sometimes I don't get it. I don't understand. But I know in my heart that God is love. God is good. And God is with me. God is for me. And that's what I hold on to. Amen. By faith in his promises. So I said this many times recently, but Jesus came to make us what he taught us to be. He came to make us what he taught us to be. In religion, we're trying to conform through an act of our own willpower or flesh to be godly, to be holy, to be right. And as long as the focus is on me making myself right, I'll never be right. So Jesus came to all these weary people who wanted to do right, wanted to live right, wanted to be right, and tried to be right, but in their hearts they knew they weren't right. And he says, you come unto me. all you who labor. Amen? And are heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Come to me, and I will make you holy. Come into my holiness. Come into my righteousness. Come into my goodness. Come into me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. See, there are impersonating spirits that are trying to get our attention. They impersonate the Holy Spirit, but they're not holy. They're very unholy. And they try to mimic the Holy Spirit so that people who are not discerning enough will go and begin to listen to that other voice. That's why you got people doing crazy stuff and saying God told them to do it. And sometimes the devil convinces people that he is God, so they bow down to him. But as we know, he is the father of lies. And he is a deceiver. And so he presents the lie as though it were true. He baits us with things that appear to be good, but produce death. That's why we're not to live by sight, but by faith. Confident assurance in God's word and God himself. He is the truth. And when you put your faith, your hope, your trust in what is true, you're walking in light and you won't be deceived. I remember the old hymn, Standing on the Promises. Well, you can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. How many think it's a good idea to be in the Word of God? Amen? Amen. Find out what God says about it. Don't be wise in your own understanding, because all of us have an opinion. I have an opinion. You have an opinion. But that doesn't make it right. Sometimes we think because I thought it, it must be right. At least I felt that way before. Maybe you haven't, but I have. Yeah. If it was my thought, it's got to be right. If it was my truth, it's got to be true. Well, brother, that works for you. Great. I'm glad that truth works for you. But for me, my truth is this. Or your truth may be whatever you want it to be. Truth is it relative? In other words, you know, your truth may be that, you know, if you jump out of a 20-story building, you're going to fall. But my truth is, no, I'm going to fly. Now, how crazy would that be? But how many know that there are some absolutes? There are some standards. There are some things. If you run a red light, you could be in a mess. That's there to protect you, right? It's telling you, warning. So we're living in a time and an age when people want to create their own reality. And even to the degree where people think, if I can just speak a certain thing into existence, you know. How many know that if we're going to speak something, or if you would make a confession, we need to be confessing what God is saying and not what we think is a good idea. We can sit around and chant for prosperity. Chant, 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 as Buddhists do. To somehow create through that our own reality. How many know that God's wiser than we are? He's smarter than we are. He knows what's best for us. As a matter of fact, God knows that for some people, getting rich could be a big problem for them. Because we have the tendency to forget God when everything is going too easy in our lives. And we have a tendency also to try to choose the path of least resistance, the place of comfort and ease in life. How many have ever achieved anything in life with little or no devotion to it? Anybody here got an education? You know, I've got a third grade education. Anybody? Anybody got an education here? You had to go through school. Maybe you at least graduated high school, right? You had to pay a price for that. It didn't just get dropped into your lap and they said, here it is. Well, that's starting to change, isn't it? It's becoming more and more like that today, isn't it? It's just like, oh, we don't want Johnny to feel hurt. So we'll pass him anyway so he'll feel good about himself. Well, Johnny doesn't know how to read, but you get it? I mean, there are standards There are things that are true and things that are false in life. There's something on the warning label. Pay attention. It's there to protect you. The Word of God is here to protect us. Not only to protect us, but to show us the way of life. God wants us to live. He's the author of life. He came that we might have life and life to the full. That's the heart of our Father. So He's not here to take away your joy and to rob you of your fun. And the things that we once thought were fun, we've discovered weren't so fun after a while. So now I have a new normal. Things that were normal to me are now abnormal. I'm like, what was I thinking? Until God's light and grace breaks through our hearts and removes the blinders we can't see. And so many people are wandering around in the dark because they just don't know any better. Why do people do what they do? Because they don't know better in a lot of cases. Why do people sin? Because they don't know better. What did Jesus mean when He hung on that cross and He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What He was saying is they knew what they were doing when they decided to sin. But if they had understood how horrible sin really is and how destructive sin is, they wouldn't have done it. Isn't that true? We tasted and we've seen, you know, what sin can do in our lives. Everybody here has been affected by it. And God says, here, I've come to present to you a new way where you're not going to be the one to try to save yourself, even to keep yourself. But I will come and I will save you and I will keep you if you trust in me. If you rely upon my ability to work in you and through you, you will enjoy the life that I came to give you in the first place. I came that you might have life and life what more abundantly. It's an overflowing. It means a superior quality and quantity of life. He didn't come to take it away. The devil says, oh, God's restricting you. That's what he told Adam and Eve. God's restricting you. God's keeping something back from you. They had everything available. Paradise of God, you know. But there was trouble in paradise, wasn't there? And the one thing that they were told not to do, that's what they did. And as a result, we are looking around at the fruit of that decision. The good news is that Jesus came to rescue us, to bring us into life, into a new beginning. We can be born again. Huh. So the Lord, how can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? No. You must be changed. You must be transformed. It's a work of grace that God accomplishes in our lives. See, religion has taught us to perform and to work and to make happen these things that deep down inside, if we're honest, we say, I can't. I can't be that standard. We get to that place where we're like, where's the relief at? When do I ever get to that place where I can say, I've arrived? Well, as long as you think you're going to arrive, you won't. As long as your focus is on your ability, it ain't going to happen. That's the difference. Religion teaches you to do this and that to earn merit or credit with God. Grace says, I'll do it for you and in your place. And I will give you grace. Where there was sin, my grace will abound. Where there is darkness, you will have light. When you are unholy, I will make you holy. I will actually make you into what I taught you to be. It's all about being changed, a new creation. And this is what frees you. He says, you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Oh. You see, I'm free, but not free to sin because I don't want to. Why? Because I have a relationship with Jesus. I love Jesus, and I don't want to do those things that grieve His heart. Before, it was all about, well, I got to be good or else. It might have been good because it was an or else thing. Growing up, right? Your parents told you not to do something. You did it, but you didn't want to do it. But when you are in a relationship where there is love, there is honor, there is respect, you want to do those things that please the other. And even in a relationship such as parents to child, sometimes the parents have to step in and they have to discipline a child. And sometimes they have to make that child uncomfortable. Amen? So that that child can come into the comfort of knowing that it's safe. Amen? Within the standards that were set for me, that are there to protect me. And that is the Word of God. How does this thing work? Well, I obey the voice of God today. I'm not just looking at a list, checking it off, checking it twice. But checking it off, I'm actually listening to the voice of the lover of my soul, the Lord who gave Himself to me. That law is written in my heart by the Spirit. When you're born again, God takes the law and writes it on the tablets of your heart. And He says, this is the way, walk in it. And when you get off course, He says, back over here. Come on, thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, amen? And we can say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up, I blew it. But it's relational. You see, institutions, religious institutions have taught men basically to be loyal to the institution and to perform at a level that they approve or disapprove. So therefore, we are bound. We become a slave to a system that we're trying to somehow appease or please. And even though outwardly we may appear to be righteous and holy because we live a clean life, inside we're a mess and we're saying, God, what's the help here? Who will deliver me from this condition I'm in? Oh God, we thank You for Jesus. Amen. We thank You for the Lord. That we come into covenant in His blood. Jesus, on our behalf, shed His blood. Paid the price that we deserve to pay. He bought us. He purchased us from the slave block. We were a slave being sold into sin. Jesus came and bought us, redeemed us with His blood, purchased us back to Himself, reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. So there's no longer a slave mentality, but there's a son and daughter mentality. Amen. We have been brought into right relationship with the Lord. So I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God through the new birth. If you're here today and you're not born of His Spirit, well, don't leave without making it right and getting right with God. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. Maybe you've been trying really hard. I used to try real hard. There was a time when I knew I was, some people think they're all that, and I didn't think I was all that. I knew I was a mess. Thank God. That was at least the beginning point. But I tried to do the right thing, and I couldn't. Until God brought me to the realization that it was not of me. Salvation was the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be set apart. He wants you to have a pure heart. He can do that. He can take something impure and purify it. Amen. Hallelujah. And He can take something that's hopeless and make it hopeful. I was hopeless. until the love of God broke through and hope arose in my heart again. Sometimes we lose our hope along the way too, even as believers. God wants to give you new hope. He's a God of new beginnings. God wants to recalibrate your life and bring you back into that place where you once walked, where you desired only Him, where your whole life revolved around Jesus. You burned for Him. You couldn't get enough of Him. You loved to pray. You loved to tell people about Jesus. You loved to be in His Word to discover, I wonder what God has for me today. The love, the awe, and the wonder of discovering this incredible, awesome God that we serve, our Creator. What we want to do is we want to share in the Lord's Supper, as we call it, and in communion. Now, we know that real communion is not in some formality, you know, that we do. It's not in some ritual. Communion is with the Lord in our heart. That was the whole purpose of Christ coming, that we might have life in Him and a relationship with Him. And Jesus basically came to, again, to purchase us off the slave block of sin, to bring us into the position of being his bride, but also sons and daughters, so that we're not what we used to be. We're this new creation now. And we can't take the credit for something that He does. Religion teaches you to compare yourself with yourself often, meaning I did a pretty good day today, pretty good job today, therefore I'm good. I was good today, so I'm good. I was bad today, so I'm bad. And it's bondage, because you're always in this place of, am I or ain't I, you know? That's my ain't, yeah. But, you know, am I really right with God, or because I feel right today, or I don't feel right today, so I must not be? Are you hearing me? And as long as the focus is on self, you don't have grace available to you there. Because what we try to do is give ourselves grace based upon our performance, based upon how well we do, will, you know, equal this amount of merit before God. But God says none of that is good. None of that is acceptable. None of your works are good enough. Your righteousness pales compared to mine. As the prophet said, it's as a filthy rag, all of our righteousness, even our best. So what we need is God's righteousness. And that was why Jesus came, to make us what He taught us to be, to make us righteous. Under the law, they knew what they were supposed to do, but couldn't do it. In Christ, amen, we come into peace. We come into rest. We come into a place where we can say it is well with my soul, because my focus is on Him and not on self. Whenever I shift away from Jesus to myself, I come back under condemnation. I come back under fear. I come back under performance. I come back to the place where I'm failing and falling on my face, because there's no power in me that can sustain me. There's no ability in me great enough to keep me. My ability has to come from Him. It is by the power of God that I am kept. Because I am leaning on, depending on, trusting in His grace and not in myself. That's Christianity 101, folks. That's what's supposed to be presented to the body of Christ. Is that it's no longer I that live, but Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by faith, confidence, assurance in the Son of God. I look to Jesus. I hope in Jesus. I trust Him. Amen? As my righteousness. I claim Him. What I believe in my heart, I speak with my mouth. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. With a heart, man believes unto righteousness. With a tongue, confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. I confess with my mouth what I believe. So we have to get in agreement with what God says. What's His report? Don't believe your own report. Because sometimes we can have a good report about ourselves and the next day it can be a bad report based upon how well we did. My report has to come from Him. I don't seek the validation from man. I seek the validation from God. I don't need somebody to tell me if I'm right or not. They'll know it if I'm right with God because God says you're right. It really boils down to what you believe. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Do I believe what God says? Do I put my faith in God's truth, or am I trusting in my own truth? My own truth cannot save. You can't create your own reality. That would be a falsehood. What is true is just true. Well, to you that might be true, but to me this is true. Again, that's going back to the stop sign, right? Or the stoplight. Well, you may believe that means stop, but to me that means go. It's pretty simple, isn't it? As a matter of fact, God made it so simple that sometimes we in our complexity don't get it. In our scientific minds. He made it simple enough so a child can enter the kingdom. And as a matter of fact, children are more apt to come into the kingdom because they simply believe what they hear. They don't question it. But Jesus said, wisdom is justified of her children. So if what He's saying is true and you know it's true, you will live according to that rule. When you walk with somebody, you just know their heart. You know their desires. The longer my wife and I have been married, the more we get to know each other. There's just times when I know that if I say this, that's not going to end well. Or if I say it this way. Somebody say amen, right? And it works both ways. After a while, you begin to realize, you know, this is where it fits. This is where it works in our relationship. It's honor and it's respect across the board. We respect and we honor one another. We love and respect. And that's what works. In our relationship with God, it's the same way. We love and respect Him. You respect the people you love. You honor the people you love. You don't do things that grieve the heart of someone you love. So, I don't want to grieve the Lord. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And you know it when you grieve the Lord, right? If you're born again, you know it in your heart. I grieve God. And we just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Instead of saying, I'll try harder, say, help me. Instead, receive grace, receive help. Because as soon as we start doing the thing, I'm trying to make it happen. I'm trying to be what Jesus told me to be. Jesus said, no, I want to make you what I told you to be. Come to me, rest, take the load off, lean back in my arms and let it all go. Amen. You find rest for your soul. I'm only righteous because He makes me righteous. I'm only holy because He makes me holy. Are there any righteous in here this morning? I'm a righteous man today. Not because I just acted righteous, but because Christ made me righteous. Amen. Yeah. That's what we believe, and that's what we say, and that's what we live, because you will live what you believe. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You that You have made me holy. We don't come before God like the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee said, God, I thank You that I'm not like other men. But we can say, Lord, I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You that You make me holy. And my confidence is in You and in Your ability. And when my focus is on the Lord, I have the power in me to control myself, hello, and do the right thing. Does it mean I'm not responsible for what I do in my body? Absolutely not. It means that His grace is released in me as I am putting my confidence and trust in Him. His grace is released in me and I have the ability to do what He tells me to do. And my body is simply my servant now. You know what I'm talking about? Before your body was telling you what to do, now it's no, the body's going to follow the adult here in the situation, right? And that's God. Hallelujah. This is a word for someone here today. Because many struggle with this whole performance thing. And you want to find joyful Christians? People that are really happy in God? They're the ones that are free from themselves. They're the ones who are not putting themselves in that place of being Savior. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Amen? That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Hallelujah. 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 So don't listen to that other voice. So it comes along and says, oh, but remember what you did. What's he trying to do? He's trying to put you back into that place of saving yourself. You see, the religious spirit is a demonic spirit. The institutionalized Christianity is demonic. Nothing wrong with organization. You can accomplish more organized than you can in just splinter groups. But never do we put our faith or confidence in the institution. Amen? We're in a denomination, but I'm not a denominationalist. And thank God, neither is my bishop and others. They love Jesus. In fact, my bishop was an old biker. Biker gang, you know, outlaw biker that got born again. Hallelujah. And he's a new creation. And so when you've been touched by the Lord, your life has been changed, you just can't help but tell people about Jesus, how good he is. You want others to know. When you're in freedom, amen, then you have something to share. You know, sometimes people are trying to share a God, but that God is not really anything anybody really needs. Because sometimes their God is a God who has an iron fist of performance and waiting for you to mess up. None of us are that way with our kids, right? We want to think the best of our children. We look at our children and we're thinking, how can I help hone, you know, this child? And how can I bring this child up so that they are productive in life and that they are a blessing and an asset to society, right? That's what we want from our children. Likewise, the father looks at us and he says, you're my child and I want the best for you. I want you to be, well, like father, like son. I want you to represent me in this world. And as we are hanging out together, you're going to become more like your father. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this day and for the body of Christ and for the word of God and for the freedom that you came to give us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would keep us free, that you would prevent us, Lord, from getting back into performance and under law and legalism and all these bondages, God, that the devil wants to put on us, God. I pray that you would keep us in your freedom, God, that you have begun a good work in the Spirit in us, Lord. We began in the Spirit that we will, Lord, continue to navigate by the Spirit every day as we are leaning on you, depending on you, listening for your voice. Lord, we want to hear your voice, and I pray today, God, that you would open our understanding, open the ears of everyone in this room today, God. Open our ears that we may know your voice, that we will be people of your presence, God, that we will not be religious puppets, but God, that we will be sons and daughters walking with their Father. Because of the blood, we have been given access. We've been brought nigh. We've been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a member of your household, of your family. And I thank you for the family of God today, Lord, for my brothers and sisters that we've been able to be together in this place, Lord. And for such a time as this, Lord, we know that time is running out. Things are wrapping up, God. And we've been given a mission that we should run with endurance this race that is set before us, that we will finish, Lord, well and finish with joy. And hear you say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. God, I ask you to fill each one of us here today with the knowledge of the will of God in Christ Jesus. Remove the veil from our eyes, God. Open our hearts, open our understanding, God, and reveal yourself in the inward parts, God. I pray that we might be changed. If you're here today and you want to be changed, just talk to the Lord. I pray constantly, Lord, change me. Change my heart. Change my mind. Lord, reveal to me the truth. I want to know you. I want to know you.